take a seat.
Wow. How many of you have seen the musical Les Mis? Yeah? If you haven't, it's a must. You must see that there's an incredible moment in this musical where Jean Valjean's life is changed forever. After 19 years of hard labor for stealing a piece of bread, he's released, he's on the street, he's destitute, and he walks into the bishop's home, who welcomes him, offers him bread and wine, a place to spend the night. In the middle of the night, Valjean wakes up and he steals some of the silver out of the cabinet and runs off. Two constables pick him up a little bit later and they're bringing back into the bishop's home and they're kind of chuckling and say to him, "This man claims that you gave him these articles of silver." And the bishop said, "Yes, that's right. But Valjean, you forgot these." And he walked over to the table and grabbed two silver candlesticks and walked back and stuck them in Valjean's bag and said, "Thank you, constable, you can leave." And Valjean, he's broken. And the bishop says, "See in this act a higher plan for your life. This act has raised you out of darkness and saved your soul for God." When you eat at the table of God's grace, your life is changed forever. The greatest purveyor of God's grace was the Apostle Paul, and we're going to look at a verse right now in Romans 1:16 where he gives the theme of this book of Romans and gives the mantra of his life. It's very simple. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." So here's the truth. The gospel is the power of God that brings salvation. And today, my hope and prayer for all of us is to walk out of here today with a little bit more confidence in the power of God to save us through the gospel and a little more courage to share it with others. Out of love, God provided a way to forgive our sins and bring us into relationship with him through the shed blood of Jesus. And God raised Jesus from the grave so that we would know that there is eternal life once for us. God didn't have to do this for you and me. He chose to because he loves us and he wants relationship with us. However, God is also holy, and there is nothing impure that can be in his presence. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God is just, and on judgment day he will correct all the injustices and right all the wrongs. This is where punishment and hell become realities. So how can this holy, just God have a loving relationship with unholy and condemned people? There's good news. God has provided the solution. In fact, in Christ, God became the solution himself. The solution is all wrapped up in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which we call the gospel. So to build confidence in the power of the gospel to save and courage to share it, here's the first thing. Realize where you stand. In Romans 3, Paul comes to these conclusions about all human beings. All are under the power of sin. There is no one righteous, not even one. Every mouth will be silenced before God. The whole world is held accountable to God. The law makes us conscious of our sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So there is a problem. God loves us, but that does not mean he ignores our sin. Rather than ignore our sin, God has provided a solution for our sin. He acted on our behalf in spite of our sin when we did not deserve it. And that is called grace, God's grace, amazing grace. So God does not ignore our sin, and we should not ignore our sin either. Our sin is offensive to God. It has results. It grieves God. It harms others. And so Christians practice repentance and confession. Psalm 51 is a great song. David wrote this psalm. He wrote this psalm right after Nathan confronted him when he committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had her husband killed. And I want you to hear the words in this psalm and absorb them, because you hear in this confession psalm the heart that we need to have before God to receive his gospel.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, only you, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness, even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you.
To build confidence in the power of gospel to save and courage to share it. Number two, we rely on one thing. In Romans chapter 1, he's not ashamed of the gospel. In 3, he shares how we have to have this broken heart recognizing our sin. And then there's this big aha moment in chapter 3, verse 21. And Paul says, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned, and all fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. There's 3 big words to unpack in this passage. The first one is justify or justification. It comes from the courtroom. Jesus was the substitute who took our penalty of death and brings pardon. Redemption is the second word. It comes from the marketplace. Jesus was the price whose blood purchased our release and brings freedom. And the third is from the altar, sacrifice of atonement. Jesus was the lamb who was sacrificed for our sins and brings forgiveness. We have confidence when we rely on the one thing that makes the difference, the shed blood of our Savior Jesus. We have confidence when we stop counting on our performance and start depending on Jesus' sacrifice. We have confidence comes by relying on God's solution and acknowledging that I can't do anything about this. We have confidence when we understand that Jesus did a good job. Jesus completed the work of salvation. It is finished. It is done. You cannot add a single thing to what Jesus did for you on the cross. You cannot improve upon what Jesus did for you on the cross. Jesus took our penalty upon himself on the cross so we could be pardoned. Jesus sacrificed his life and shed his blood so we could be forgiven. Jesus paid our debt with his blood so we could be set free. And we rely on one thing: the blood shed by our Savior, Jesus. You remember the story of the 10 plagues in Egypt? And the last plague, as they're trying to, Moses, get the people to get out of Egypt. And the last plague, there's going to be death all across the whole nation. In every single home, the firstborn is going to die. But God said to his people, I want you to take a lamb and take blood from the lamb and put it on the tops and the sides of your doors. And then when he passes over that land, you will be saved. Salvation, deliverance will come to your home. Even back then, God was pointing to the one thing that matters, that makes the difference. Jesus, he was doing the Last Supper. You know, the Last Supper is the Passover, and that is the feast that commemorates this event that happened back in Egypt. It commemorates that event. Jesus is in the upper room with the 12 disciples, and he's celebrating this feast to remember the deliverance of God by the blood of the Lamb. And he lifts the cup up and he says, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And he points to the one thing, his shed blood. If you notice this morning, there's tables around the room. And in a moment, we're going to have a song and invite you to stand up and walk over there. There are two cups together, bread in the bottom and juice in the top. If you're unable to get up or would like someone to bring that to you, just raise your hand. Someone will come and bring that to you if you can't get up and get over there. After you take it, just go ahead and take them both, okay? Eat the bread, take the cup, do that whenever you're ready. Place the cups in the backs or on the floor. But here's what I want you to think about. Remember that God loves you. That's what's behind what you're doing right now. That God has provided. That God loves you. That God in his grace is extended to you. Thank your Savior, Jesus, who died for you, who took your place. That's what this is about. Give him thanks as you take this cup and bread today. And declare from your heart, this is the one thing I'm counting on before God to be right with him and see him one day, my Savior, Jesus. Yesterday, we did some work in our home, and I was hanging a couple pictures on the wall. I haven't had these pictures up in my house yet. One was a picture of my father, who's a missionary on the Navajo Indian Reservation, with my Navajo grandfather. And then another picture was a Navajo medicine man named Hanagathni. And I remember to this day, Hanagathni and his family were the first Christians out at Red Mesa, Arizona, through my dad's ministry there. And my dad shared with them in the Hogan, and they accepted the gospel, and we went down to the river, the San Juan River. Anybody been to the Four Corners? And you know where there's a bridge that goes across the San Juan River, and you go up the hill, and there's the Four Corners. And right by that bridge, we walked out in that river, and Hanagathni was baptized into Jesus Christ to build confidence in the power of the gospel to save and courage to share it. The third thing is this: respond to the gospel. When the gospel was presented in Acts, people responded. Repentance, faith, baptism, and confession. The Bible doesn't separate faith and baptism. They're not separate acts. They're a single response. Bible scholar F.F. Bruce says it well. In apostolic times, it is plain that baptism followed immediately upon the confession of faith in Christ. The repeated accounts of baptism in Acts give ample proof of this. Faith in Christ and baptism were indeed not so much two distinct experiences as part of one whole. Here are some examples of that in the book of Acts. Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news, the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. And many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. In Romans 6, Paul asks this question. Do you remember when you died to sin with Jesus? Do you remember when you were buried with him and rose to a new life with Jesus? Do you remember when that happened for you? Paul says it was when you believed and were baptized. Romans 6:1 says these words, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. My prayer is that you will let today be your day. We're going to invite you to respond to the gospel today. I don't know if you've been thinking about that, praying about that, but I do know this, that God's arms are wide open for you. He is willing. It will change your life forever. It's very simple. You turn to God in repentance. You place faith in the shed blood of Jesus, your Savior. You're baptized to die with Jesus, to be buried with Jesus, and to rise to a new life with Jesus. You confess that Jesus is Savior and Jesus is Lord. All you have to do today is, at the end of this worship service, you go over to that cross, and there will be people there to help you with each and every one of these steps, including being baptized. We have t-shirts and shorts and things in the back, and if you're uncomfortable with that, then just be baptized in the clothes you're wearing. We'll give you a towel. We'll wrap you up. We'll send you home. You might be a little cold, but a little wet, but you will have responded to God, whose death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ brings life eternal to you. You can make that decision today. You also build confidence in the power of the gospel to save and courage to share it. Raise your voice. Again, Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God that brings salvation. God is counting on you to raise your voice, to share the gospel. Invite others to it. So when your children or your grandchildren are asking questions about God, or your neighbor or your friend or someone else is talking to you about God, I want to remind you of this one simple thing. Remember this. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. There's a card at the back. It's at the door. It says that at the top. It gives some of the points of today. It's a tool for you to take home and share and use today. I hope you will take one. I've been trying to help people embrace the gospel for many, many years now. There's a couple of things that I have learned. Number one is this. No one becomes a follower of Jesus by getting their difficult questions answered. So if you're hunting around for answers for people, that's a nice thing to do, but it's not going to save anybody. They need to hear the gospel. There's something else that I've learned over these years. I've assumed that people already know the gospel. And I've been surprised again and again when I discover they really don't know the gospel. God has placed you uniquely with people all around you that need to hear the gospel. Don't worry. It's not your arguments. It's not your answers. It's not your knowledge. Jesus said, I will be with you. I will help you. Raise your voice and let God use you. Simply share the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation. Amen.